This is a fun verse, kind of modern wisdom for everyday people. I think we tend to hear it as encouragement, you know, a reminder to loosen our grip a little, let our hair down. You know, maybe if we could just trust God more and stress less, we'd be better off. But I think if you take time to really kind of soak this passage in, read it slowly, sit with it for a long period of time, I don't think it's super encouraging. I actually think it's kind of uncomfortable in the way that it provokes some different parts of us, that if we're willing to expose it, let it rise to the surface, that the Lord can do some really wondrous work of healing there. Because one of the things about Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 is that it assumes that you put the full weight of your life on something. And the question isn't whether you lean on something, the question is where you lean on. And I think if we're really honest, I think we'll come to the resolution that we all lean on some things, and we have particular places we turn to, or that we go for comfort or reassurance, or what we do when we're bored, or what we do when we're anxious, or what we do when we're scared. Any of you do the thing when you're at the grocery store and you're waiting in line for the person ahead of you and you just stare mindlessly at your phone because you don't want to engage with the world around you? Or is that just me? No, it is some of us too. You know, and honestly, for most of us, if we'll just take a minute just to be real about it, the first place we go is we just lean on ourselves. And I don't know where we learn this. You know, it's not built out of some kind of self-inflated ego or, you know, some sense of arrogance. I think it's just become kind of the cultural standard in kind of a rugged, individualistic American culture. It's just what we do. It's the subconscious instinct that we have developed over time, is that I'm going to figure out my life. I'm going to take the full weight and responsibility of everybody and everything, and it's all up to me. You know, I know this in my own life. I get to preach all the time, and I regularly preach trust, actually did just this past week, and simultaneously, I'm always running through about three different contingency plans in the back of my mind. You know, I will tell people, oh, I'm fully resting in God's grace. Like, really cheesy Christian talk that doesn't really help anybody. But yeah, I find my way, like, I'm white-knuckling my way through my own Christian life. I'm just trying to figure it out day in and day out. You know, and I say all that to say that the two aren't mutually exclusive, but I think most of you kind of get the idea of what I mean. I want to put on the kind of Christian front that everything is A-okay, yet at the same time, I have a beautiful color-coded calendar in my phone that really dictates every single thing that I do. Can I get an amen? Okay, you all get it. But the question that Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 is asking is like, what are you actually leaning on? Where do you put the full weight of your life? And I think that's something that we have to wrestle with this morning as we're getting to look at this passage. The text says this in unusual phrase, lean not on your own understanding. And I think that is pointing at something pretty specific. Understanding here is not about intellect. It's actually the whole apparatus that you actually use to make sense of your life. It's your ability to read a situation, identify what's happening, figure out what to do next. And it's the way that we kind of get the feel that we can get the handle on things in our life. And a lot of us, like, that apparatus has been pretty well developed. You know, we've learned how to manage, we've built systems, we've got good at anticipating problems before they arrive. There's real wisdom in all of that, and I don't want to dismiss that, because it's a way that we've kind of built systems in order to survive, and we've created adaptability for ourselves. But there's a version of that that is no longer wisdom-filled, and it starts being the things that you rely on, where kind of the implicit belief underneath all of this is that if I could just understand enough, prepare enough, and figure out enough, I'm going to be fine in the world. And we look at somebody else who's white-knuckling their way through life, and we go, oh, I wish I could be more like that person. And it's a trap, and it's a lie, and it's a cycle that we get ourselves in. Now, some of us do this through competence, more learning. Some of us do this through planning. We are great planners. Some of us do this because we're problem solvers. There's not an insurmountable issue in our life that we can't mount up and get over. You know, we are the people in the room who's already thought of the things that everyone else is just now thinking of. And I think there's a part of that that's genuinely useful when it comes to, like, kids' schedules. Like, that's a full contact sport. You all agree? Like, managing logistics is crazy. You know, this is one of my favorite topics these days. Like, 7 days a week, what do you eat for dinner? Like, how do you figure that out week after week, every year until you die? Like, that is so stressful. A a lot of us are, you know, either we're working part-time or we're working full-time still, and we've made room in our space for life for this kind of growth setting. And so, you know, we're not only just, you know, managing kids' schedules, figuring out what to do for dinner, but we're also making companies a lot of money. But it also becomes a place that, like, I think when life gets hard, we believe that if we could just get our arms around this, then we'll be stable. Some of us do this through spiritual effort. You know, if I pray enough, if I serve enough, if I read my Bible enough, if I deal with my sins seriously enough, if I could just get my spiritual life in order, then I'll be in a good place before God. That version sounds much more spiritual than the first version. But the underlying logic is still the same, is that your security is something that you maintain. And here's what I know about both of those. They work fine until they don't. And I hate to say it, but eventually the bottom falls out. The planning, the scheduling, the worrying, it doesn't actually fix it all. Grief exposes that. Loss exposes that. A season where you did everything right and it still fell apart exposes that. You know, there are moments where your own understanding simply cannot hold your life together. And the disorienting thing isn't always the external event that happens, it's the internal collapse. Like, I thought I was doing everything correctly. And that's the moment that, like, really shocks us, is like, I thought I had this all figured out, and then the moment that the collapse happens is the moment that, like, the internal dialogue starts that we are worthless and we didn't do enough and we are unworthy of love. So Proverbs isn't saying that what you understand is worthless. It's just saying that it has its own limitations. Like, you were not made to carry the full weight of your life. I love this as a spiritual practice. Everybody raise their right hands. Everybody put it on your forehead. And then I want you to go like this and go, phew, and repeat after me. Thank God the world does not depend on me. All right, there you go. You got it. You're fixed. Wow, it's that easy. It's that easy. You were not made to carry the full weight of your life. And here's the part, like, you know, it's interesting, you know, one of the things I love that Mavis said is, like, gosh, the time that you have with your family, with your kids, like, that's short. Make the most of it. And yet, everyone who's been through that season knows that you didn't listen to somebody else's encouragement like that until way later. Am I right? Like, what I'm saying to you is 100% worth knowing, but, like, that's not how we learn things. We're going to end up having to find out the hard way. So you've all been going through this material through Megan Faith Marshman, the book called Relaxed. You're all familiar with the basis of this. I'm not sure what you know or what I know or what I don't know. But I got the chance to go through chapter 4 and 5, and I loved chapter 5. It's actually what Megan Marshman said was her favorite chapter, because she introduces a concept that I find really uncomfortable for me personally. She takes us into what she calls and what Scripture calls and what the Christian tradition has called the throne room of God, and this is drawing from Isaiah chapter 6 and Revelation 4. And she just asks a very simple question. This is kind of the exposing question. What will you have in your hands when you see Jesus face to face? What will you have when you're standing there and your whole life is laid bare before him? I'm sure you've all talked about this, but the book is largely inspired by the tragedy of her husband, Randy, dying unexpectedly in 2021, leaving her to, like, raise two boys by herself. And so the idea of, like, standing before God is not a fun concept. It's actually something that she's facing as a reality, that someone that she has loved is already facing that with Jesus. And so she's already thinking about the reality of that moment. And so she's reflecting on passages like Hebrews 4:13, which describes that moment this way. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So I want you to think about that for a second. Like, everything you've ever managed, everything you've ever curated, every version of yourself you've presented to other people, and in that room before Jesus, none of that works anymore. That's a hard thing to wrestle with. Because what's left is exactly who you are before Jesus. Admittedly, I don't know about you, but I don't like drive home and think about that moment. I'm probably not the only one. Because I think where we mostly spend our time, and we spend a lot of energy doing this, is we spend a lot of energy managing how we appear to the people around us and not much time being honest about how we stand before God. And I don't say any of that to be more, but I just think it's the reality that 10 out of 10 people will face Jesus. Mortality rate is at 100%. In 100 years, all new people. 10 out of 10 dentists agree that we will all die, okay? We will all stand before Jesus someday. And I don't want to be embarrassed by the fact that I was not prepared for that moment. You know, I don't want to realize in that moment that I've been skating by all under my own power and ingenuity only to realize that not one bit of it made any difference. You know, Jesus isn't going to examine our human resumes. He's not going to listen to me drone on and on about how hard I tried and how I've done better than some other people. You know, none of those things survive that moment. He sees it all, he knows it all, and he's not surprised by one bit of it. And I want to, as the writer of Hebrews says, I want to be able to approach him with confidence, which, as hard as that sounds, isn't something that I'm going to be the one to muster up the ability to do. I get to do it because Jesus first has done something for me. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, I want to read that to you. It spells it out this way. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. So here we're going to be totally exposed before Jesus. And the invitation is that you have to approach him with confidence. Isn't that wild? Like, that sounds absolutely terrifying. And it should feel like a little bit of strange. Like, how do I do that? Like, if everything is laid bare, if my resume won't hold up, then what is that confidence going to be based on, and where does it come from? It does not come from getting your act together. I know, like, that's a little bit of self-help talk that happens in the back of my head. It's like, dude, just get your stuff together. Am I the only one who does that? No, you're like, come on, man. You know, like, in that days when you're dragging to get out of bed, and you're like, just get out of bed, the internal dialogue. It doesn't come from getting your act together. It comes from you're not walking into that moment alone. And I'll explain that. Here's what Hebrews says. You have a high priest. You already have someone who has represented you before God. Someone who has already been where you're going. Who knows what it is to be human, to be tired, to be tempted, to feel the weight of everything. And yet who did not fail. He did not lean on his own understanding, but he leaned entirely on his heavenly Father all the way to the cross. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us what happens in that moment, is that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So here's what happens. Jesus took what we deserved, and you receive what he deserved. Your record goes to the cross, and his record becomes yours. And so you are not walking into that moment based on your own confidence, with your own resume. You are walking in with Jesus' track record. Isn't that pretty sick? Like, that gets me fired up. I just got like goosebumps, goose pimples. No one says that, by the way. So that's the only thing that actually stands up against Jesus. Not your competence, not your spiritual track record, not your ability to figure things out, however good that ability may be. And those things are nothing. But they were just never meant to be the thing that you're supposed to put the weight of your life on. Jesus is the one that we put the full weight of our life on. So I want to end with a question. And I think this is something that you'll have to take as your own practice, as your own kind of form of introspection that you need to be honest about, is what do you lean on? When it hits the fan, because it will, if it hasn't, maybe it already has. You've been around the block a few times. You've gone through some personal tragedy. You've gone through some moments of suffering. I hate to say that's not the end of it. It'll happen again. When somebody you love lets you down, when you're disappointed, like What do you lean on? Where do you go? Who do you turn to? And if you'll be really, really honest, you'll want to do like the really pad Sunday school answer. Starts with a J, rhymes with Beezus, it's Jesus. You're like, well, of course it's Jesus. And then, you know, if you've been reading the Bible, you've been studying for a long time, I don't want you to give you like your really, you know, theological answer. I'm standing on Jesus' sacrifice for me. But like there's this real rub in our life about the things that we know versus the things that we do. So what do you do in practice when it gets hard, when you can't manage what's in front of you, when, gosh, the uncertainty rises and you don't know where it's going to come? You're like, what do you reach for? Who do you reach for? And for a lot of us, we just double down and we're like, I got to grit my teeth and get through this. We lean on ourselves. We've got ability to handle it. You know, we've got an incredible track record of figuring things out. And we just have this like spider sense, you know, underneath us that if we can just get to the top of it, we're going to be okay. But Proverbs is just pointing out the fact that that won't work forever. And so we need somewhere to lean on that can hold the full weight of your life. And it's only Jesus. It's his worth, not yours. It's his work, not yours. And it's his standing before the Father and not yours that makes all the difference. And so what I would just give you is just a very simple invitation. You're going to find yourselves in many, many moments. You're going to get unfortunate news about your children. Your spouses will disappoint you. You'll have broken relationships with family members that are friends that you thought you were going to age well with. The doctor will call you with terrible things that you're not quite sure how to understand. You'll lose tons of money on investments that you thought were going to be able to think to carry you forward in the future. Your health will fail. I could just go on and on and on. And one of the things that I would just give you is just a simple practice kind of with your body. Is in those moments, and you're not going to think about this, but if you practice it along the way, it's something as a form of muscle memory that will come up. Is in the small moments, you know, I want you to open up your hands. Follow me with this. Open up your hands. You can just practice as from a clenched fist. Everybody clench fist and just open them up. I give this over to you. I can't handle this, so you're going to have to. I mean, you can just be as impersonal as you want. Come on, man. That might be your prayer. It might be, Lord Jesus, you can be really spiritual about it. And you're like, I can't do this, so you're going to have to. And that's about as spiritual as we're going to get today. And to be reminded that because you can't, he can. And I think, this is going to be one of the biggest differentiators kind of in our day and age that separates Christians in the middle of difficulty and suffering, that will really tell the beautiful story of Jesus and the message of the gospel that other parts of the world can't tell, is when you are losing everything around you and your whole world is crumbling and you're not losing your mind because your life is built on the confidence that you have because of what Jesus has done, people will come to you and they'll go, oh my gosh, how are you even holding everything together? And you'll be able to respond with a sure confidence, it is nothing that I have done, it is everything that Jesus has done. So for that, I give you that invitation. Where do you go when things get hard and when things get difficult? Let it be Jesus. But this is going to require some relinquishing of your control, of the modicum of effort that you try to bring to the table, of what you can hold in tension. We all know the truth that none of it works. The bottom will eventually fall out. So I'm going to need somebody else to lean on. And his track record is pretty stinking good. Let me pray for you. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just sense that there are some women at the tables who feel an overwhelming sense of pressure. Maybe it's from work or from a spouse or trying to take care of kids and records and, Lord, the financial scheme of their lives, and they're overwhelmed. They are completely overwhelmed. Lord, truth be told, you've already given them everything that they need. All of the ability to manage the schedule, to do all of the planning, the forethought, the skill and ability acquired over extensive careers and long period of time and complex situations. And yet, Lord, you've also offered them to receive the sufficiency of your grace for that moment. That not everything relies on them. Not all power and all authority. Lord, they can actually draw from a finished work. Or when it feels like there's so much to do, may they be reminded of these words: it is finished. They don't have to show up and impress anybody. Lord, they can simply be loved and receive the good news of that promise in the middle of it. Lord, and that in all of their ways, they might be able to submit to you, and you can direct their path straight. Lord, I pray that invitation would be one of healing, one of wholeness, and one in which you infuse their lives with an eternal sense of joy. That what you have accomplished is sweet, and it's perfect, and it's good, and it's beautiful, and it's worth celebrating. Lord, may you make the women who come to Moms Connect of the most vitally important to seeing your great work of love at work in our community. May they tell the story of how you've held them together through thick and thin. And may, Lord, that inspire and touch the lives within our community. Would you bring your family home through them? We pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you.
So Brandon, what was the downside of no? Anyhow, thank you so much for speaking. Yeah, he's going to tell us. When was your rock bottom? Yeah, no. Yeah, I know. But anyhow, we just appreciate Brandon speaking to us today, and from his wisdom and his background. And he's always just got such a great sense of humor and always adds that to everything he says and does. And his message is so clear. So thank you so much. And if you just bow your heads in prayer this morning before we leave. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you so much for each woman here and how you've spoken to her through the words of other people at her table, from Brandon, from things that are being done, just to help her to feel loved and help to direct her thoughts and her spirit to you, Lord Jesus. And we just lift up this morning for our birthday girl, Mavis, and for the wisdom that we're learning about who to lean on, because we often try to do it all ourselves, and all of us are going through things. And just a reminder that you, Jesus, are the one that we can lean on, and help us to remember you've already done this before us, and that you walk before us, and that you're always ready to listen to us and hear us. And we lift up all our prayers and considerations, and help us in our discussions to just grow in our faith and help each other on our journey faith. In Jesus' name, amen.